Today's scripture reading is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. What an awesome privilege for you and I to be given this opportunity to be part of God's congregation here and around the world on this Lord's Day to proclaim His praise. And also, what an awesome privilege for us as part of our worship, not only to express our praise to Him, but also to hear Him speaking to us. And I pray that this morning, as we turn to the pages of Scriptures, as I share with you what God has impressed upon me, it will also be an opportunity for you to hear what God is saying to you today. So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we are so grateful to you that you have given us voices for us to sing to you, the praises from the bottom of our hearts. And thank you also for the exciting news that we have been hearing, what you are doing here and also beyond the shores of Singapore. And also thank you right now as we pause, as we turn to your scriptures, may you speak to us. Speak, O Lord, for we are listening. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning, being the last speaker for the Missions in Focus Month is always quite a challenging thing because what needs to be said has been said in the last few weeks. So I have to say something different. But nonetheless, God's Word, there's always a wonderful dimension of God's Word that there is never enough for us. God's Word, there's always this richness. So this morning, I'm sharing with you a very familiar passage, which is taken from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. And I'm focusing on this whole idea of you and I living in in-between times. Have you been to the airport recently? I mean, of course, I'm asking here, in this question here, I'm talking about Changi Airport. So have you been to Changi Airport? There's a lot of new things coming up. Question is that, why are you at the airport? Of course, we have make it so complicated these days. In the past, airport was very obvious. You go there for only two reasons. You either to receive someone flying back or you are going there to fly away. Now, that's very simple. But today, our airport far more complicated than that. You can go there for many reasons, to eat, to shop, and even to sleep. Yeah, there are people who go there to take naps for the afternoon. Yeah. Well, the thing is, if you are there for the purpose of receiving someone flying back, then the question is that, who are you waiting for? And when you are waiting there, what are you doing while you are waiting? So these are the kind of questions I want you to keep in mind as we think about this analogy of the airport waiting to receive someone, okay? We are going to revisit this question at the end of my message. We are going to look at this passage, Acts chapter 1. So it's very important for us to understand that the book of Acts is not a stand-alone book. It's written by the same author, Luke, who actually wrote the Gospel of Luke. And actually, it is considered as a twin books written by the author Luke, who was actually a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul for his missionary journeys. So from this diagram, it gives us a very interesting picture of how it shows basically as what he's addressed this person, Theophilus, God lover or lover of God, Theophilus, Theos and Phileo. So basically, he says that, well, how I talked about this story, the story that began with Jesus coming to do and to teach and then taken up to heaven. So that is where I stopped, and so now the story continues. So this morning, the story continues. And what we have is that he says that Jesus started his ministry teaching and healing. And so that's where the gospel message starts, in terms of Jesus incarnate. The Word became flesh, and so in the person of Jesus. And so he goes about teaching and healing. And then, of course, after he was crucified, he rose from the dead, and he spent the next 40 days going around, visiting individuals and groups of people. And of course, the theme of the conversation during these 40 days was on the kingdom. So he spoke to the disciples about the kingdom of God and about the Holy Spirit. Of course, we are not given access to what has been discussed in detail, but this is basically the themes. The theme about the kingdom of God, about the coming of the Holy Spirit. What is the implication of this brief introduction here by Luke? Is that the gospel or the good news is always about Jesus. That is the essence of the good news that you and I are called to share with the rest of the world. And this is also the message that you and I have called to believe in. It is about this person, Jesus. And it's all about him. There is no need for us to add to it or take away from it. It is about him, crucified and rose from the dead, for your sins and for my sins to be forgiven. And so that's why I find that it's very important for us to keep this in focus as we think about missions, as we think about what your life and my life is about. And basically, it's all wrapped up in this whole message called the good news, the gospel, which is about Christ crucified. And no wonder the Apostle Paul says in Galatians that I know nothing except that Christ is crucified. Don't claim to be wise, knowledgeable like the rest of the world, but know that Christ, my Lord, is crucified. And it is in him and through him that we have been given this new life. And that's why one of the contemporary songs that I like now is considered classic. My time, as a younger person singing this song, it was contemporary. Now, a lot of songs become classic. All those contemporary songs that I used to love now becomes classic. So when I Google search or YouTube search, and then I find that all my favorite songs now become oldies. Yeah. Okay. So as generation is passing away. Okay, so this song basically is, Lord, I lift your name on high. And so the chorus says that you came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name high. So it's the whole essence of this gospel about you coming from heaven to earth, and from earth to the grave, and from the grave you rose to be alive, and then from the earth you go back to the sky, to the heaven. So that is the essence of the good news that you and I are called to believe in, and you and I are called to share. The next thing is that we observe that the Spirit is coming. So here, It's very interesting, the conversation between Jesus and the disciples. The disciples asked a very interesting question. Now they saw the resurrected Lord, the glorified Lord, and so their immediate question is like, oh, so is this the time? Is this the time for you to do what you've been telling us about, especially when you talk about the last days, you talk about establishing the kingdom of God. So is this the time for you to establish the kingdom of Israel? You must understand the context here is that the Jews had so much hatred for their overlords, who's actually the Romans, who were lording over them, occupying them, and that they wanted to have that regaining of the kingdom of Israel. And so they're asking Jesus, so is this the time for you to establish the kingdom of Israel once again? And so Jesus gave them an embargo of information. So Jesus told them that this piece of information is only on a need-to-know basis, and there's no need for you to know. So I thought that was a very interesting thing. Jesus said, as to the time, you do not need to know. So the answer is that you do not need to know. So I don't know why we still want to know. Today, there are so many books written, and we still want to know when, okay? When Jesus is coming. So Jesus said, you do not need to know, okay? So let's settle this quest, relentless quest of wanting to know when. So then Jesus goes on to tell them that, okay, this one you don't need to know. But what you need to know is that the Holy Spirit is coming. And the Holy Spirit will be coming on you. So you stay on. Stay put, don't go anywhere. Stay put in Jerusalem, don't go anywhere. The Holy Spirit is coming, and the Holy Spirit will descend on you, and then you'll be empowered, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus tells them that this is the extension of the gospel, that you will then take the gospel from here, Jerusalem, to the ends of the earth. It's very interesting, as we think about this, that you compare with this Great Commission in Acts 1:8 with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. You realize that Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20 has a very interesting detail. It says that go to all the nations, therefore make disciples of all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations. The word nations there is ethne. Ethne, which is actually where our English word ethnic comes from, which means peoples. So, unfortunately, a lot of our English Bible translates nations, and we start thinking about political entities, political boundaries, which is really missing the point. We're talking about peoples of all different tribes and colors and language, which is so important for us to understand. We are still far from finishing the task. Okay? If we are talking about political entity, we are near completion. But if we are talking about peoples, we are far from completion. So the implication here is that we need to understand missions or evangelism is not about how clever you are or what strategy you have. It's important. I've been someone who is into admin, leadership, management, that kind of background. I love to do planning. But the thing is that, it's important. But the thing is that the whole essence of us completing the task or bring the gospel to the end of the earth, it's not simply about strategy, it's not simply about planning, it's not simply about program. It is about what are you power on. You know, I love this little logo when you buy your computer, Intel Inside. You know that kind, the logo, the computer logo? Say that the chip inside, this computer is powered by the CPU designed and manufactured by Intel. So as we go out and do missions, we must also carry that logo. What must you carry inside? Christ inside, or the Holy Spirit inside. Of course, the Holy Spirit is actually the continuing presence of the Holy Spirit, of Jesus. So this is the reason why in the book of Acts, we also hear that the title of Jesus of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. So we are powered by the Holy Spirit. This is something very important for us to understand. Because we live in an age that we love to manage and we love to control. And so we think that a lot of things can be done because of our ingenuity in terms of how we lead, how we manage, how we control, how we problem solve. But at the heart of missions, it is about the Holy Spirit powering through your life and my life. Okay? The second thing is that progression or advancement of the gospel to places and peoples involve crossing boundary. Boundary in terms of political, racial, and social divides. If you look at the book of Acts, it's very interesting that only until Acts chapter 8, then we start to see a breakthrough. Because when the disciples, after receiving the Holy Spirit, they still remain in Jerusalem and they were still happily doing evangelism and witnessing among the Jews. And so many Jews came to Christ, but they still, the whole entire church is basically Jewish, homogeneous. It only comes to Acts 8:1, when there was a great persecution, then the church was being, quote unquote, compelled to get out of their comfort zone and start crossing boundary. And that boundary was racial and social, that they started going into the Samaria and then going further, and then finally to the Gentiles. So this is something that you and I must remember. If we want to be part of God's global agenda, missions, you and I cannot remain in our comfort zone. That means comfort zone meaning that the people we like, the people like us, the people who are just so comfortable for us to reach out to. It can be challenging sometimes when we do missions, we have to go to places that perhaps the people we may not like, or perhaps because there's some historical baggage. Yeah. So I think I've never shared this in public, but let me just say, for example, like talking about missions to, let's say, Japan. For some of us, okay, I didn't go through the Second World War, but I heard a lot of horrific stories, and also I read and I watched. And the thing is that, so you could think that there could be a lot of this hang-up in terms of why should I go to a nation, to a people that have committed such great atrocities, who have yet to apologize or who are still trying to justify what they did was right. So the thing is that that could be a kind of challenge for some people, right? So this is a very important talk for us to know. When Jesus says about you shall be my witnesses here in Jerusalem, in Samaria, in Judea, and unto the ends of the earth, he's not just simply talking about geography. It is each boundary that the gospel breaks is really about going beyond our comfort zone and beyond our own choosing. If the Holy Spirit is the one that is powering us, it cannot be just simply our choice and our convenience. May God convict us as we continue to participate in God's global program. And finally, we come to this second coming. So what about this second coming? So Jesus started, as he gave this great commission to the ends of the earth, and then he started levitating and started being taken up to heaven. I don't know exactly how it happened, but this is my imagination. But the thing is that he was just being lifted up from before their very eyes. So Jesus ascended. And after Jesus ascended, slowly disappeared into the crowds. Then the disciples were still standing there, looking up, watching. And then angels appeared, and the angels admonished. The angels asked this man of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? It's not a simple inquiry. It's actually a reprimand, because it's just like as if that man of Galilee, when they knew you specifically, when someone knew you specifically, it's definitely not something very nice. You know, come on, Peter Chan, what do you mean by this, by that? No, so it's definitely not very positive. So, man of Galilee, why are you still standing here looking up to the sky? There's no time to waste. There's no time to idle, because it's a kind of idling, standing there looking to the sky for what? Jesus is gone. So there is no time to waste. There's no time for you to do stargazing. And then, besides the admonition, the angels also assure them, give them this assurance. He says that, oops, sorry, I forgot to move. That's the thing about controlling your own slide. It's multitasking. Okay. I cannot, because some of you here sitting in the pews are older than me, so I cannot say age is catching up. Yeah. I can't say that. Okay. Yeah, I'm still young. Yeah, my wife, they just tell me that I'm still young. Okay. Okay, so the angels assured, the same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go to heaven, into heaven. So there's this very interesting chart, do the comparison. How did Jesus go? How is Jesus going to come back? He went up, he will come down. He left earth to go heaven, he will leave heaven to come back to earth. He left in the clouds, and then of course he will be coming back in the clouds. He left in the real body, he come back as the same Jesus with the glorified body, resurrected body. When he left, people saw him. When he comes, people will see him, meaning not just the disciples, but all the nations of the earth. And then if it was Jesus who went up into heaven, it will be the same Jesus. Notice that the angel emphasized this same Jesus. The same one being taken from you is the same one who will be coming back. You remember in John chapter 16, the disciples were actually showing sense of sadness when they keep hearing Jesus talking about departing, going away. And Jesus told them, do not let your hearts be troubled. Okay? Now, so what's the lesson here? The lessons that we can draw from here is that there is this certainty of Jesus returning in glory. The angels make it an answer. This same Jesus, he will come back just as you saw him living in the clouds. He will come back the same way. And that, so there's this certainty. There's no shred of any doubt, just that we don't know the time, but we know that he's coming. Yeah. And then we are commissioned to bear witness for Jesus during in-between times. So that is something that you and I are not left to stand there looking up into the sky and doing nothing, wasting your life and my life. So we are called, we are commissioned to bear witness for Jesus during in-between times. And Jesus wants us to have a sense of urgency because there's only this limited time. When Jesus comes, there is one ministry and there's no need to do anymore. There is missions and evangelism. When Jesus comes, there's no more opportunity to call people to repentance, to call people to repentance and to believe in Jesus. That will be the end of this whole assignment. So we need to know that there's this limited time. A limited time, and when there's limited time, it also means there should be a sense of urgency for the church to know. You know, two things that the contemporary church is in trouble. One is that when we think about life on earth, we know it will come to the end. So we are looking for the last days. We are preoccupied with the last days. Armageddon. Right? The second thing that we are preoccupied with is when or how it's going to happen. So these two obsessions to me is detracting us from the whole thing that we should be focusing on. One is that Jesus is coming back. Two, there will be no more opportunity. I think that will keep us in focus about talking about this idea about Jesus coming. In the New Testament, the word that we often take from Paul's gospel, Paul's letters, is that we use the word parousia. The word parousia means appearance, arrival. So which means that the whole New Testament church is always focusing on the coming back of Jesus. Yes, there are some parts of the New Testament letters talk about the last day, the signs of the last day, what it will be like. But ultimately, the main focus, the principal focus is we are waiting and waiting for that same Jesus to come back. That is what we are waiting for. Okay? So, truth for life. So, truth for life, what I want to share with you is this. We are living in between times. So, the first coming and the second coming. The person is you. It doesn't look like you, but it's you. Okay? You are living here today. You look back to the first coming. You look forward to the second coming. Okay, and then my question for you this morning. Why are you here? Here on earth. Why are you here in Singapore? Who are you waiting for? Or what are you waiting for? For some people, it's what, it's not who. And what are you doing while you're still here? Not taken away yet. I suggest for you and I, as people who are living in between times, there are three things you can do. It's the waiting. And the simple thing about waiting is just waiting, because we don't know the time, the day, but we will wait. And then the second thing you and I must do while waiting is don't either. Is that you and I must always be bearing witness in whatever way, in every way. That is what we are called to do. And whether you like it or not, you are in one way bearing witness. Just a question of whether it's good witness or bad witness. Because people are reading you, especially if they know you are a believer. So you and I, we are called to wait, we are called to witness, and we are called to watch. We are called to watch. So we are called to watch. So these are the three things I leave with you: to wait, to witness, to watch. So what are you still waiting for, or who are you waiting for? Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful to you that you have given us your word today, and that you have challenged us how we may live our lives for you in between times. Indeed, O God, we live in challenging times. We have complicated our lives, like we are going to the airport. There are so many things for us to do. There are so many pursuits and pleasures of life that we have lost the purpose why we are there or why we are here. We are here waiting for you, Lord, waiting for your appearance, waiting for your arrival. Well, that's what, through the ages, men and women who are your disciples have been doing. And while we are waiting, may you help us to always be witnessing for you with our lips and with our lifestyle. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.